Hi, everybody. Well, who was in Brian's keynote? Everybody? A few hands, that's okay. Good. I was worried with it being half eight. I didn't want any spoilers or anything. So luckily, Brian didn't demo all of my demo, so it shouldn't be too bad. You kind of guessed what the title is of this talk now. When we're doing the abstract, we kind of had to keep it a little bit vague, so hopefully you'll understand why. Let's get started. So my name is Martin Woodward. I'm a program manager on the Visual Studio team. That's a bit of an anachronism, really. I don't program anymore. The developers tend to go in and delete all the code that I check in. And nor do I actually manage any people, actually. I look after the programs. So I mostly seem to delete email, really. But here we go. I think that's what most managers do, from what I can tell. That's how to get hold of me if you want me. We do a blog. I've got a blog there. We do a podcast on TFS. Who listens to Radio TFS in the room? Wow, look at that. That's amazing. Not many conferences you can go to where you get like more than three hands. That's exciting. Here we are. If anyone's into TFS and stuff, listen along. I'll be recording an episode later on today, actually.
You don't publish very many anymore,
though. I know. I've been busy getting Git working in TFS. So, it's okay. Right. So, this is the fancy Windows 8 store version of the Stadium graphic. This is the Team Foundation service and server. This is what it looks like to everybody. And you can see the whole point of our ALM offering is to have a really tightly integrated offering that gives you all the features you need to do software development. Gives you them in the box, they're all tightly integrated together. And we like to try and encourage people and software development to fall into, the pit of success. We want people to accidentally get better at making software. The reason I joined Microsoft, a very simple reason, and that was to make software development better. Problem is, it's quite a hard way to a hard goal. So always we're trying to just make software development better, make people better at building software. And we do that by providing Team Foundation Server in the back end. And that supports all the build automation, work item tracking, planning, continuous integration, and obviously source control. Now, as Brian said in his keynote session, there are different types of source control today. The type of source control that, to be fair, up until about 10 minutes ago, most people associate with TFS. In fact, in a lot of people's minds, TFS is this particular type of source control. So what we're trying to do today is explain that no, TFS is much more than just source control. The TFS that most people know is the check-in, check-out Team Foundation version control model, or server workspaces in Team Foundation version control. And that's great for having really large code bases like we do here in Microsoft. And it's also great if you're in an organization that needs very, very fine, granular controls over permissions to individual files, individual branches, needs to be able to change the permissions on the fly as well. After people have downloaded the source code on the machine, you might want to remove permissions from them to actually be able to check in or commit. And you can do that with a server workspace. And because you're constantly talking to the server, every time you want to edit a file, you have to say, "Hey, server, I'd like to edit a file, please." And the server says, "Shh, okay." And then it makes the file writable locally, and then you can edit the file. So that's great for allowing monitoring of who's working on what, and also helps communication between the team. It's, as I say, good for really large code bases and great for control and auditability. One of the problems is with great control comes great responsibility, but it also, by talking to the server, you're increasing friction because the files are read-only locally. But if you want to edit a file outside of, say, Visual Studio or Eclipse, you have to actually go and check out the file, then edit in Notepad, then go back into Visual Studio and check it in. And that just adds friction, which for a lot of people, they don't need some of the benefits that a check-in, check-out model gives them. So in TFS 2012, we introduced with local workspaces the edit commit model. And that allows you to just edit files. When you download them from the server, they're writable locally. You can just edit them in any application. And then when you go to check them in, Visual Studio or Eclipse or the command line, that actually goes and figures out which files you've changed and helps you commit those to the server. And that's great for teams that don't have the server workspace is scaled to workspaces of millions of files, right? Visual Studio one. A local workspace, say, scales to workspaces of, say, hundreds of thousands of files, It's now I've worked on software projects when I had a real job. I worked on software projects that I worked an entire year on a government project once where a floppy disk contained the entire source code that we'd worked on. Most people's workspaces are not millions of files. So this actually works for a lot of people, and it reduces the friction in terms of being able to edit changes and things, which is quite a good thing. So a lot of people like local workspaces. And then they're both types of version control system called a centralized version control system, which is all we've had today in TFS, is centralized version control. But as Brian mentioned, we've seen rising trends that are made distributed version control more and more interesting. The prime example is I work with a lot of customers who say they have the system of record is maintained by a business user, in-house IT working on some systems, be it Java or ASP.NET or whatever, and they're working on these systems in-house. But then the systems of engagement, the iOS applications, the phone applications, what have you, they're quite often developed by these little crack teams out there somewhere in the Ethernet, in the internets. And they get sent back over the wire, sent over to the mothership, and it's like, here you go, here's an application, here's the source code, sort of thing. And we're seeing more and more of that happening, actually. But in terms of outsourcing work, both offshoring and using these small independent teams. So distributed version control is very interesting. The interesting thing about distributed version control is it's a completely different workflow to a centralized version control system. You have to think about your repositories completely differently. In terms of, I'm obviously a bit of a source control nerd. In terms of how you think about source control, it reminded me very much of the days when we went from, say, functional programming to object-oriented programming. In terms of, you have to just think differently. You can still do functional programming in OO quite often, but you need to think differently to get the benefits out of that workflow. And so we, in distributed version control, the strengths of that is obviously you get a full offline experience, which, I've done a little bit of coding on a plane. I once wrote a barcode system on a plane once, but that's not, that's it. I don't tend to write on the plane very often, but having that full offline experience, being able to take my repository with me, can be useful. For some people, that's incredibly scary, in which case you probably don't want distributed version control. We've got the other workflows that you can use. But for some people, that's actually really, really useful. And distributed version control has a simplified branching model. Branches are at the repository-wide level, not in path space. And that, it gives you different features, but the simplified model makes branching a lot less scary for people. And in distributed version control, a common workflow is to create a branch locally, do my feature work in the branch, commit every 10 seconds, commit. Then eventually I get to a point where, I'm happy with this change. I think this is good. I'll merge that into my master branch, the main line of code, and then I'll push those changes up to the server to share them with the team. That's a very common workflow. And it's great for these smaller modular code bases. The last thing you want to do when you get home is take your team project that's in TFS with a bunch of branches in there and millions of files and loads of images, and then we have this utility that Brian mentioned, GitTF, to take code from to move code between the different repository types. The last thing you want to do is just port your entire centralized code base straight into distributed version control. You're always doing it wrong if you do that. Your distributed version control repository needs to be a lot smaller, needs to be a lot more encapsulated, because that repository is downloaded onto every developer's machine. All the history is downloaded onto every developer's machine when they clone the repository. So, yeah. And obviously, it's really good if you're integrating with open source. I mean, we've got we've had Git on Coplex for quite a while now. And obviously, there's GitHub. There's a lot of people, when they're integrating with open source, are talking to Git repositories and distributed version control repositories. So, because it's suited to that workflow. And then you've seen this slide, so slightly different. Yeah, as we were saying, the interesting thing about Git, we say Git's the leading DBCS tool, and I know I'll probably get some Mercurial people saying, no, yeah, Mercurial's much better. There we go, I can see a hand. Well, Git, we love Git. The thing we're seeing is not is just Git winning in terms of adoption curves, in terms of distributed version control systems. It's got a network effect. More and more people are getting on board. The curve, the adoption curve, is exponential almost. It's the fact that even the DBCS tools that aren't Git, they all support Git fast export, Git fast import. They all support interoperating with a Git repository. So that made us think, this Git thing's interesting. And then what's been very interesting, Git's very efficient at sending diffs of files around, only sending files that have changed and figuring that out. It's very fast, very efficient at that. And so we've seen it being used more and more because it's really easy to just stand up a little Git server as an endpoint and have people push changes to it to deploy applications like to Windows Azure websites or to Heroku or what have you. So we see Git being used as developer FTP more and more. And then finally, Git has great cross-platform support. It was obviously originally coded by Linus Torvalds over a weekend, as legend has it. It doesn't look like that from the amount of code I've seen, but it was originally hacked together very quickly. It's built for the Linux team to build Linux. It's got great support across platforms. In fact, probably one of the few criticisms that would be weighed against Git is that the support for Windows developers wasn't as strong as on other platforms. And so that was when we sat down and we really, we can imagine this wasn't a decision we came to, straight away. We had a good long think and we realized rather than try to build, local commits into TFS or TFVC, or try and do anything crazy like that. If Git doesn't have great support for Windows developers, well, we're Microsoft. Let's fix that. So that's what we did. We're working with the open source community to try and improve the support for Git on Windows, for .NET developers, and for developers on the Microsoft platform. As Brian mentioned, it's now available. Who hasn't got a Team Foundation Service account yet? Hey, nobody will put their hands up to that. Great. Make sure there you go. Go get one. It's free. You don't need a credit card or anything. Just go get an account. It's you can go create a Git repository there right now, all working. It all got switched on during Brian's talk. Very exciting. And I can tell you, I realized about 45 minutes into Brian's session that I probably should start breathing. So it's also now available. If you go to aka.ms/git4vs, you can download the Visual Studio extension. It's a V6 file that plugs into Visual Studio 2012. You need the update to CTP. We've added some plugin points into Team Explorer to enable this extension, so you need the CTP. So go get that first and then install the V6. Now, as Brian mentioned, we do 3-week sprints. So every 3 weeks, you see new features arriving on the hosted service. And I don't say every 3 weeks, but let's say every 3 weeks-ish, you might be seeing little toast notifications about this update getting improved. We're only just started our journey here, and we're adding more and more functionality into both Git in Visual Studio and onto the service over time. And then, as Brian mentioned, and I'm glad he did, because it means I don't get into trouble, Git's going to be built into Team Foundation Server, the on-premises version, in a future release. And this is, again, I go back to my goal in life is to improve software development. So it's also to get some sleep, but one out of two is not bad. We're going to be including Git in Visual Studio every single edition including Express, out the box in a future release. Now remember, Git's a distributed version control tool. That means some guy hacking around in his bedroom, file new project Git, he's doing version control already as he starts. And as we all know, version controls, if you're not doing anything to improve software quality, just get some version control in and you're going to be doing better. Stop taking little zips and things, you know. It's yeah, so that's going to be big. I'm really proud about that. What do I mean? What do we mean when Brian said fully integrated Git support? Well, obviously we've got Visual Studio and Team Foundation Server. I'm quite proud of the build on this slide, by the way, so I'd like some applause by the time it finishes, because it took me days. Okay, so hey, I've not finished yet. Easy, Tiger. So we've got project one, and when you create the team project, you specify what repository type you would like. So in this project, we specified it as a TFVC repository. And it comes with all the stuff you know and love with TFS today, you know, issue tracking, build management, project management, test case management as well, lab management, everything. It's all there. And then over on Visual Studio side, we have Team Explorer. Team Explorer is our interface to ALM. It's the window you go into. It is how you talk to your ALM tool. And behind the scenes inside Visual Studio, Team Explorer hooks in a source control provider into Visual Studio so that when you edit files and check in stuff and check out stuff, that it automatically picks up those changes and can send them over to the server for you using the Team Foundation version control object model, which is a proprietary, you know, it's our code .NET object model. Now, as you all know, probably people who've seen me talk before, my little area of interest is in the cross-platform side, and we have a full Team Explorer Everywhere experience for third-party clients to talk to Team Foundation version control from, say, Eclipse or from the command line on Linux or whatever. It just works. So if you want centralized version control, the best-of-breed centralized version control system, TFVC. However, if you want a distributed version control workflow, then you can create a second project, and this, again, is probably going to be a smaller project for you. And inside that, you will have you can pick a Git repository. And that Git repository is in Team Foundation Server. It's the same server. It's just Git in there. It's fully integrated with issue tracking, project management, everything. It's just a different version control workflow. It's storing all that data in the same database that Team Foundation Server and Team Foundation Service uses. When you take a backup of that database, you're taking a backup of all of your data. You get all the features that TFS provides, like, you know, in the on-premise version, Active Directory integration, in on-premise, Live ID authentication. You get all the cool stuff, SQL always on, all the cool things that you know and love about TFS today. It's there. You just get to use a Git workflow. And this is going to be, again, an interesting change for people, how they think about TFS, because hopefully it'll help people realize that TFS is much more than just the version control. You've got TFVC for the centralized workflow of version control and Git for a distributed workflow, all in Team Foundation Server or Service. Here's an interesting part and a part I'm really proud of. How Team Explorer talks to Git is it uses the Git source control provider inside of Visual Studio, and it automatically will just switch between the two. So if you're in a TFVC project and then you switch to a Git VC project, it just flips. You don't have to go to the tools option, select source control provider. Thank you. There's no solution file bindings as well. So we get a round of applause for no version control bindings. There you go. There we go. All done. Great. Yeah, that all works great. That's okay. That's a little bit to be proud of. I can't be that proud of it because I'm not involved in that side. The guys in North Carolina did that, and they did a fantastic job. It's really good. It just works. The thing I'm really, really incredibly proud of us doing is it doesn't talk to Git using a proprietary Microsoft API. It talks to Git using a library called libgit2. Libgit2 is an open source library. I originally got some code in there from Linus Torvalds, and it's going to be shipping in the box in Visual Studio. You know, cats and dogs living together. What's going on? And it's a fully open source library, GPLv2 with a linking exception license. It's out there on GitHub. We, Microsoft, have been contributing to that project for a number of months now. In fact, I'm proud to say a number of engineers inside Microsoft, including, for some reason, me, I think it was just a token assignment, really, have actually been granted committer rights to libgit2. So we're fully part of that project. All the features we've been building and all the bug fixes we've found to build this Visual Studio integration, we've been contributing to the libgit2 project for months. They've already been there. It's already open source, you know? We're doing it properly, hopefully. And then libgit2 sharp is a .NET wrapper around it. But there are other... libgit2 is portable C code, C89 code. So it compiles on Linux, on Mac, on the Raspberry Pi, on the Amiga. If you've still got your Amiga in a cupboard, you can dig that out. We actually could do a little bit more testing on the Amiga implementation of libgit2. Yeah, funnily, we don't have one of those in our build lab. We've got one of everything else I just mentioned, but not an Amiga. And then, it's just open source. And the advantage of that is it talks to your local repository just fine. It's just Git. It's storing things as Git would store them. It's Git. We're linking into it. And then another advantage is it talks to any remote Git repository. So, you know, Coplex, GitHub, Bitbucket. It's just Git over the wire. So it talks to those remote repositories just fine also. So that's pretty cool. In fact, most of the other vendors looking at, you know, doing Git integration stuff, look at libgit2. GitHub actually shipped features based off libgit2 before we're shipping this. So that's pretty cool. The code which we helped write ended up being used to roll out features onto GitHub before we'd even put it into Visual Studio, which is interesting. But there we are. That's open source. It's great. And then third-party integration, so Xcode, which is a very important one. Xcode comes with native Git support. You can now, as a development team, share your changes into Team Foundation Server using Git and get all the benefits of all the stuff you have. You're not working on your own little private island anymore. You're still sharing things with a team. You're doing all your commits. You're doing all your work item linking. You're doing all your test linking. And that all just works. It's just TFS, only with Git. It's great. And then finally, as Brian mentioned, we have this Git TF client, which will help you bridge code from one repository to the other and actually say, because you have to think, how do I want this particular concept to map in centralized version control? It's not an automatic conversion you can do. So that helps you move code between the other. So if you've got an iOS team that are developing an application, they can work away as their team inside of a team project. They can be linking to work items, and that worked, by the way. I'll show you why Brian's demo didn't work earlier on. We'll show you that in a second. It worked a bit later. There was a delay. I'll show you that in a sec. So they can work in their team, check in, associate with work items, do all that. All those work items can link together. If they're in the same project collection or the same account inside the Team Foundation server, you can link a work item to both TFS commits and TFS change sets and Git commits. It's just links in work items, you know? It just works. And you can happily do all that and work away, and your iOS team can be fully tracked as to what's going on. All the on-premise version, all the fancy reports that you do and everything, they just all work as well. It's just TFS. So, yeah, all good. Oh, sorry. Now's when you round of applause. Isn't that a great picture? There we are. Thank you. Yeah. Actually, I probably should have saved my token gratitude applause for the demo. Let's go play with some stuff. So, as Brian said, we added a button here for, if you want to create a new project with Git, you can just do that. But before we do that, one of the things I'm probably, most proud of is you can just come into Visual Studio. And again, I'm currently talking to TFS, but if we go along and we just go to Solution Explorer, you know, empty Visual Studio, I can go to File, New Project. I can just go in here and do a quick, let's say ALM Summit. I can do a Hello World application, Hello World here. And I can say Add to Source Control, yeah? So I'll leave that checkbox checked. I click OK. It does a little thing, and look at that. It says, which source control system would you like? I have Git, please. That sounds interesting for me. I'll click OK. And that is going to create a Git repository for you on your local machine and have your project in it. But as a regular developer, you don't really notice all that stuff. It's just there behind the scenes. It's just kind of done it. So I can right click in here, and we see, as Brian said, you've got the little plusy arrows and everything because it's in source control. I can just right click, commit, and I'll say, you know, initial version. It's also clever enough to come in and actually suggest that you might want to have, Git has a couple of files in it, like gitignore, which, you know, helps you ignore files you don't care about, like class files and things. It also has Git attributes to help you do line-ending translations and things. So it suggests that you might want those, so yeah, we'll include those as well. And let's commit that into the repository, initial version. So I've done that. And remember, I'm just on my own on a machine. I don't need to be on the network or anything. I'm doing version control. So I can come in here. You know, let's do the classic. Hello world. There we go. Great. I can write hello world in about 5 different languages. It's quite impressive. And then we'll come in here and we'll say second change. Hit commit. And we'll notice as well, if I actually go here, I can see my repositories. These are the Git repositories I have locally. We can see actually, this is just because it's, you know, this is my actual development machine. So I've got here ASP.NET Web. There are a couple of Coprex projects from the ASP.NET team. That's a little test one we're going to play with in a minute. And then libgit and libgit2sharp. They're these projects I commit to. So they're on GitHub and they're just there locally ready for me to use. But hello world. And yeah, so that's all my projects there. I can keep on going here, and you know, it's had a comment. Okay, all good. And now I've got them. Oh no, sorry, I don't want to do a quick commit, don't I? I'll say change 3. Okay, now I get to the point where, you know what? This actually happened to me. True story. A little side project you start working on at home, you realize it's actually it's going to get big and you need somebody else to work on the project with you. So let's say ALM Summit Demo. There we go. And we're going to say we want it to be Git and we're going to do Create Project. I'm going to make it using the Scrum template. So you realize you're going to need somebody to help you with this. You're going to try and turn it into a business rather than a little thing you're working on the side. So you go away and you create a team project because you want to share this with your team. Interestingly enough, for some reason, after Brian's announcement that Git support's been added to the Team Foundation service and it's available for free, the number of new projects we saw creating had just skyrocketed during his talk. And there we go. So it's still pretty fast, that's good. But one of the interesting lessons we've learned about building a service is around fault tolerance and around job prioritization. So we want it to be really easy still when we're doing what's happening now and experiencing quite a lot of traffic. We want people to still be able to create accounts. But interestingly, remember Brian was doing let's show you, in his Fabricam apps thing, he was looking at some code, and he did like #123. Then you see I was testing this to see what was going on. There you go, a change fixed 123. And when he looked at it, there wasn't a work item link there when he looked, but there is now, I just point out, it just happened. And the reason why it wasn't showing was because the job we have that hooks up work items to commits, that actually runs in the service with a slightly lower priority than the job that runs to create new projects. And so all these people coming in and creating new projects meant that his little work item linking got prioritized down. So that's a good problem to have still. Don't like demo fails when it's your boss's boss's boss doing the demo, but never mind. Okay, and you can see here. And I actually, he's not in the room, is he? When he was doing it, that little fetch he was doing, I was trying to mess with him a little bit while he was doing it. So I made a change from Xcode there while he was talking, actually. And we can see, look, there we go. Yeah, I was sending him little messages just to try and break his demo, but sadly it didn't work. So never mind. So yeah, that's version control. But what I wanted to do was, if I browse over to my ALM Summit project, which got created, we can see it's currently an empty repository. But what I can do is I can just take that URL, and this is a different, I want to show you a different route in to the one Brian showed this morning. If I go to my homepage and look at commits, we see it doesn't have a remote repository configured. That's what you call, you know, in distributed version control, all the repositories are kind of peers, but you typically tend to have a central server that you use, a remote repository. You can have more than one of them. So we're going to add a remote in, and we'll add that there, and we'll hit publish. And that goes to Team Foundation server, authorizes with TFS, and then it'll push my changes up locally. So now if I go in, all of those changes I was doing locally, having never been connected to a server, if I just hit refresh here, they now show up. And not just the files, but my full history shows up. So you see, for the first time ever, with distributed version control, history is now portable inside of SCM systems. That's a big deal. You know, one of the problems with locking into version control systems is because history is not portable. Now history is portable between repositories, so that's big news. And that's a good thing. Great. And that also means that you can get an email from your iOS team that you've hired out to go hack together a quick application for you. You can get an email from them that contains the Git repository, or they can send you over their Git repository, and you can push those changes into your TFS repository, and all those changes are there, and you can see them in the project, and they can be all linked together. It's just all works. It's just Git. So there we are. Okay. Let's jump over to the Fabricam apps example we had. And as I was saying, the theory being it is just Git. Let's do some stuff. Actually, no, let's do it inside of let's stay inside this ALM Summit demo. So one of the things people like about Git, and Brian showed a bit of, was it's really easy to branch in Git. Incredibly easy to branch. You just branch locally. You don't have to tell anyone on the server that you're branching. So if I go into here, I can see my branches. I have one branch currently called master. That's the Git equivalent of main. You know, they call it the master branch. And I can very simply just come in here and say new branch, and I'll say feature A and create a branch. And by default, that's actually checked out the branch for me, and we're working in it. So I can say comment in feature, oops, okay, apparently can't type, feature A. And then save it, and then that's good. And then I can just go to let's go to my Git changes, and I can actually come in here and commit that. So I'll say change in feature A. Hit commit, and we're done. Okay. So now if I go back to my branch, I can flip my branches and just flip between the two. And look at that. You don't get any of those. Warning, file has changed in editor. Would you like to reload, yes, no, cancel, or what's the middle option? You just get, it just does it. It just works. So that's pretty cool. What's actually more interesting, who's used Git before in the room? Okay, so those people, you're going to like this. Let's go to the master branch, and let's actually say comment in master. Now, branching in Git is really, really easy. But branches are the same. You know, branches have similar issues in that the longer lived a branch is, well, it's actually, you can push changes around fairly easy between branches with Git. But the longer lived a branch is, the more change that happens on a branch, you're still going to get conflicts happen when you try and merge two branches together. You know. That's just how it works. If you're doing parallel development and you edit the same file at the same time, the system's going to need you to do something to figure out how to resolve this conflict. And so let's just commit this into master. So comment in master. I'll hit commit. So that's done. So now I can switch branches and then go feature A, master, feature A. Right then. So other people, it's about five people. Who's using Git today? Raise your hands again. Okay. So when you go to merge a branch, typically you would go, you know, to posh Git and do the stuff you need to do in the command line to merge some branches. And then if you've got a conflict, if it's a conflict of a solution file, that can be a bit painful because it sticks a bunch of angle brackets in there to show you where the conflict is. And from the command line, the experience can be a bit painful. And that was one of the areas where we figured that's an area we can improve for Windows developers and actually make a typical, in a Visual Studio developer, a lot more comfortable with merging branches in Git. So we went and we let's go to the view branches. And we see there's my feature A branch. I don't really want to ever share that branch with somebody on my team. I want to merge my changes into master before I push them to the server. So I'm just going to come in here and I'm going to say, I can do merge there, or I can hit the merge button. And I'm going to say merge from feature A into master. So that's pretty cool, isn't it? That's easy. Okay. So I'm going to hit merge. And I go, conflicts, because I deliberately made a conflict. So it says, merge is completed with conflicts. Now this is the neat bit. Resolve the conflicts. So we come in here and we see we've got a conflict. So first of all those lessons we learned back in Visual Studio 2012 about not having asynchronous pop-up dialogues flying everywhere and modal whatnots and things, we've kept learning that lesson. And so nowhere here are you blocked. You can keep on working. But we see that this program.cs has a conflict. If I just double click on that, all of the merge conflict resolution tooling we built for Visual Studio, that's available to Git and TFVC. So I can just come in here and say, you know what? Actually, I want both the comment from master and the comment from feature A. That it was able to auto merge, and I want to add a comment during merge. And I'll accept merge, and I'm done. And it's updated my editor. And it's got a change set, a commit ready for me, and I'll say do merge. Oops, I'll even spell it right. Do merge to fix. Let's do this again. I'm determined to prove there's no cheating. Right then, 1, 2, 3. There we go. Okay, right, commit. So that's done the commit. Now if I view my commits, we'll see I've got 3 changes locally, which I haven't pushed to the server yet. Now, hopefully Brian's not messing with me in the back room. So I'm just going to hit push. And it's going to push those commits back up to TFS or wherever my Git repository was. So there we go. Now, if I go over to here and I'll look in ALM Summit demo. Sorry. I can just do view history. And we can see do merge, fix 1, 2, 3, comment in master. Now, I'll click on this one for you because this one's a bit odd for people. Comment in master. We want to do the do merge in 1, 2, 3. I'll show you this because this is this shows you that it's real Git. Git history is stored in what's called a directed acyclic graph. Ooh, that's a good. It took me a while to learn that name. Basically, DVCS tools do not have linear history. That's one of the big differences between DVCS and centralized. That's why we can't just stick a. Well, we could actually just stick. That's why we don't just stick a bridge over TFVC and call it Git, or we don't just stick something over Git and call it TFVC, because they're fundamentally very different things, and you have to use them differently, and you need to think about your version control workflows differently. Otherwise, you don't fall into the pit of success. So we see here this particular commit actually has a parent, 2 parents. So I can see what the different parents are, and I can go view that commit. One of them was the comment in master, and one of them was the comment in feature A. And you can see those relationships, and it stores those, which is pretty groovy. And we see here as well, bug 1, 2, 3. Look, it did create that link for me, so that's good. The load must have died down, and that just works. And as I mentioned, the link, that was actually a bug. If I go to links, this is associated with, with 4 commits. So the links are two-way, obviously, in Team Foundation Survey. It links from the commit to the work item, and then from the work item back to the commit, all the change set, all the test case, all the story, or whatever you want. Okay. And if I go and I quickly show you some, while I'm in web version control here, some of the features that I'm particularly proud of, if I scroll down, we'll go and look at that change set Brian was playing with. So here we go. Oh, actually, no, let's show you some of this. This is probably a bit, it's probably only me that cares about this. You see these little bullet points here? They kind of give you an indication as to how big a change something was. So we see that one there is like a big change. Thank you. Whereas that one there is a small change. So I can say a quick change for that. And then this functionality here, people who are using TFS 2012 on-premise are like, holy cow, what's that? That looks pretty. People who are using it in the service have seen this. We actually rolled these changes out back in December time, I think we started rolling the web version control experiences out. So we can see here we've got inline diff for individual files. If I wanted to, I could click on, say, my web config file, and I could go look at the diff for it. But, you know, the problem with diffs, and, you know, I could look in here in my commit explorer, and I could be browsing around, diffing everything if I want to. The problem with diffs is that, you know, sometimes, like, you've got a lot of horizontal scrolling and, you know, there's a lot of stuff around. So we've added this little full screen feature you can just click on, and it gets rid of all that stuff, and you can just focus on the code, and you can say, oh, yeah, that's what changed. Great. Cool. And you've got, various different bits. And we'll keep adding to this as, you know, adding to the web version control every single sprint as we go. There's a couple of cool features arriving in the next sprint deployment. So that was that. Oh, and I wanted to show as well that we can do some things because, again, of the way we process stuff on the server. Let's show you. Yeah, let's go to the contents. If we go down to, let's go to the commit contents. If we go down to just near where Can Sanchez, I did it, I mustached him. We can see here we've got the Fabricam logo, and we can actually see it was renamed from logo to Fabricam logo. And renames, if people who know Git, renames, the way Git does renames is interesting and actually slightly odd, but slightly cool. It does it all in client side. But we can show renames here on the server. If we look at history, we can see there's the change I did under Fabricam logo, fabricamlogo.png. But if I click on that, it actually goes and queries the history of its old name and shows that in the repository. So I can see a bunch of changes up until it was renamed, and then my new changes. So we follow history on, you know, for merges and renames and things, as you would expect. So it's all good. Right, I don't have time, fantastic. So the next thing I wanted to quickly show, and then we'll start wrapping up, is, I'll just show this, because I'm quite, you know, I like, look, if you do that, it goes and loads some details about what happened in the background there and things. It's just pretty cool. Okay. So, as Brian mentioned, this is Git. You know, is it really Git? You sneaky Microsoft. Are you trying to do something a bit naughty or whatever? No, it's properly Git, and we get it. We get it. That's quite good. So, I just made that joke up then. I didn't tell why it didn't get many laughs. So, we'll come over here. There's another one I made up. Let's see if anyone gets this. With Git and TFVC in TFS now, you can both have your cake and eat it with a fork. No, nobody got that one. Okay, there we go. I'm glad I didn't use that joke. Yeah, exactly. Or a branch. Right, okay, there we go. Yeah, I'm just responding to comments on the Channel 9 post about this. So if I go over here, obviously we test web access. We don't just test it in IE6 or anything crazy like that. In fact, it doesn't work in IE6. But good thing. But we don't just test it in IE. We test it obviously in Chrome, in Safari, in all sorts of different browsers, as you should. And so, in fact, this is my main interface to TFS because my code that I use is stored in the service, so that's what I use all the time. And then if I go over here, let's go to, that's me messing with Brian actually there, so we'll just clear that, there we go. If I go over into, this is Xcode. This is the repository explorer in Xcode. And you can just, you know, come in here and clone a new, add a repository. So let's try. Actually, probably should have tried this before doing it live on stage, but let's just give it a go. If I go to my account home, oi, that's going to be an issue. Okay, that's exciting. Okay, give me 2 seconds. You didn't see this bit. I was testing this earlier. This must work. Corpnet? No? Oh, well, we'll find out what happens. Okay, let's see if this works. No, I can't. I'm not going to work, is it? Martin.visualstudio.com. Exciting. Wow. Good job I'm using Git because obviously I can carry on doing my demo while I'm fully offline. So that's exciting. Let me just go over here a second. Martin.visualstudio.com. Okay. Seems like the internet just went down while I was doing my demo. Let's do one more thing. Let's jump onto MSFT Open. So I'm going to get off Corpnet now and go onto the open internet. So here we go. That's an interesting demo fail. Right, great. Let's just see if we've got the internet again. So we'll go to martin.visualstudio.com and we'll do some other little stuff. Don't look anybody. You don't need to see this particular demo fail. Let's switch the proxy server off and then we'll hit apply. There we go. And hopefully this will magically start working. Yay, okay. Woohoo! Okay. Demo gods. Yeah, there we go. Right then. So where were we? ALM Summit demo. That wasn't the bit. You know, I tried to connecting to the internet while I wasn't live on stage. I'm not that much of an idiot. So I'll come over here into code, and I'm going to clone this repository down in Xcode. So I'll just copy that, paste that in here, blah, 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 computing reachability. So this is where it was figuring out, oh, yeah. So I'll go in, and we'll say ALM Summit demo, and we'll say it's a Git repository. I'll hit clone, and we'll say there, and off it goes. And it's going to ask you for my username and password. Now, obviously, Xcode doesn't know about federated authentication and live IDs and any of that stuff. So we added a feature, and you may have noticed us adding this feature recently, and this is why. If you go to my profile, let's get rid of that, sorry. If you go to my profile, if you go to credentials, you can actually define a username and password that can be used for your talking to TFS in the service. So you can, rather than use Live ID, you can say, hey, use this, my secondary credentials, use this username and password pair. And that's really handy for talking to Xcode. In fact, when we did the first implementation, we built it for some things, and we did a username of, you know, just your email address. And then we actually discovered Xcode had an interesting feature in that it couldn't handle usernames with @s in them. It just breaks. And so we had to build a whole new user authentication thing, which we rolled out a few sprints ago, which actually allows you to also set a secondary username. So you have to make sure you've got a username there and set yourself a nice password. And then you can use those to talking, and I've lost my window. You can use those when talking with TFS. And again, you can't blame me for the quality of other people's tools. That's it. Cancel and get back in again. So we'll do clone. We'll do checkout or clone repository. We'll do that. Do that even. Hit next. We'll say it's Git. We'll go clone. We'll do clone. Please work. Here we go. Right. So Martin Wu, and then a password. I can't talk and type passwords at the same time. You get a break. Okay. Whew, that worked. And that's cloning. So that's doing it. There you go. It's just Git. Did that from Xcode. That's pretty cool. I can also come in, it is just Git. So if I can be in Xcode and have the benefit of all my, you know, Xcode stuff. If I start typing in here and make some changes inside of Xcode, and then if I go and look, I actually get, if I can find it, you get a little modified. You see there? Because Xcode has IDE integration into Git, so that all just works, which is cool. And then the final thing I wanted to show you is that it's just Git. If I go a couple of levels up to where we just cloned that repository, where did I clone it to? Let's have a look. Source. Contoso, there we go. So we'll go to Contoso, ALM Summit Demo, CD, ALM Summit Demo, LS, there we are. Now, obviously, this isn't, let me make this a bit bigger for you so you can see it. This isn't an Xcode project or a Unix project, but I could just do, vi hello.txt, because I'm a Unix guy now. So, I to the insert, hello, everyone, whatever. This is a test, cheers, Martin. Escape, Control X, blah. And then this is where you get to, if you want to use a Git command line, you can. Look, I've got hello.txt there. Git add hello.txt, great. Git commit, give it a message. Commit from command line, there we go. Fantastic. Git status now. It's nothing there. Do git log. I can see there's my history. Fantastic. Right. So let's do git pull first of all to see if there's any changes. Okay, that's fine. Git push origin master, because obviously the fantastic command line syntax. There we go. So that's done a change, pushed it up to martin.visualstudio.com. And if I go back and go to, cancel out of that, go into here, there's hello.txt. Woohoo. That's exciting. There we go. And then I can even do crazy things, as I've got a couple minutes left. I can even do things like, we added execute bit to, we added execute bit into TFVC a while ago. We can do stuff like that as well, obviously in Git, because Git just supports that out of the box. So we'll say, this is a test, and I'll just do gmod a plus x on bash.sh, git add bash.sh, git commit. This is why we have Visual Studio integration. Git commit minus m, this is a test, another commit. But if you want to do the command line, if you like PoshKit and you're used to that, if you want to do some squashing and rebasing and all the crazy stuff you can do, and you can do all that, it's just a Git repository. It just works. So there we go. And then Git push origin master. There we go. Sends a file up. And obviously, Git stores execute bit stuff, and we show the execute bit stuffs. It just maintains that execute bit thing for you. So there we go. So there's the bash.sh file there. We even do things like, if you create a symlink, we can represent symlinks in here and all sorts of things. So there we go. Okay, let's jump back to the deck. So Keith wanted me to start late and finish on time. So that's hopefully what I've done. But if people have got questions, then we can. So to wrap up, if you want to learn more, if you haven't got an account, Jeffrey Hammond, I saw you. Then go to tfs.visualstudio.com and get one now. If you want to get the Visual Studio tools for Git, it's git number 4 VS. And if you want to learn more, git init VS. That's Blarin's blog post. That's a little inside baseball Git joke there, but probably nobody gets that. But there we go. Then you can go learn more. Thank you very much for your time. I hope the ALM Summit's been interesting for you. Yeah, not nearly. One of the things I wanted to show. We don't have a Git team and a TFVC team inside Microsoft, inside TFS. That's not how it works. We have one VC team working on one VC backlog. And so I wanted to kind of sneak in here some of the features on our backlog, because if I do it in public, it means the developers have to check them in. So one of the things we want to do is we've got build support actually today is in there. If you go use it today, then you can go do builds. So there's some build. I'll just show you some builds quickly that we can do them. But it's just very basic build support that's in there right now for Git. The build support's going to be improving rapidly as we release. We're just beginning. So we're going to have, deeper build integration for the Git. We're going to do a bunch of Team Explorer enhancements. We've had a lot of usability requests come in. We've had some comments coming in to User Voice about how the pending changes view works and things. So we're going to go work on some Team Explorer enhancements that will affect, obviously, whatever type of version control system you use. One of the key things I'm very keen on is that people make the decision about which version control workflow they want based on the workflow, not on individual little features of, say, Git versus TFVC. And so we will be adding symlink support into TFVC, because that's the big missing piece that people ask for with TF version control. So we're adding that. And then we're keeping on doing stuff in the web. We've got branch visualization for TFVC, but we don't have that for Git yet. Git could do with that. So we're going to go some stuff there. Code review, blah, blah, blah. So a bunch of stuff. And make it really simple to get started. I want to make version control transparent. I want to make it incredibly hard for developers. I'm sick of going to, never here, but going to, user group presentations and stuff and say, which version control system do you use? Blah, 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 blah. Who doesn't use version control? And, a quarter of the room put the hand up. We need to fix that. And so we're going to try and make the getting started experiences better and try and, trick you into using source control. Okay. And go sign up for service. It's free for 5 users. And then finally, it's all about choice. Okay, thank you very much for your time. If anybody has questions, I'll be here for a while. I finished bang on time, look at that. So we can take some questions, but the video recording will probably stop now because people don't want to listen into that. So yeah. Yes, sir?
You said the history is now portable across repositories.
Yeah.
Not knowing Git and all that.
Okay. Yeah, so the question is portability of history. The way distributed version control works, one of the features you get is portable history. And it means that you can go from a repository stored in one Git system in a vendor, they might not have TFS. You can take their repository and push it up to TFS and keep all your history intact from this other one. But you are actually able to do Git TF, the command line tool. It supports exporting and importing of history from both types as well. So you can do Git TF clone hyphen hyphen deep. It's a Git command, so it's verbose. And that'll actually build a set of commits into Git for you that represent your change sets in TFS. And then a Git TF check-in deep, I think it is, if that's the syntax. It'll actually do, check-in. So you can do that, but you're always going to run into migration issues there because you're taking history from one version control type to the other. Whereas if you're staying in distributed version control, then the portability of history you kind of get as part of your workflow in DBCS. Great. Yes, sir. For Git, because you've got because the source. In fact, we're still actually, interestingly enough, thinking about that. But largely, and what we've done is, if we go to for a Git version, because Source Control Explorer shows you what the server repository is like, and compared with local. With Git, what you do is, if I go here and look, like this Fabricam app sample, I could just jump to. Sorry, I didn't mean to press that. I could just right-click on that, and we offer a couple of options for you. Open in File Explorer or open in Command Prompt. So I can come in here, open in File Explorer, and if I go in, and this is the thing that Brian was playing with, so if I come in here, and in fact, I haven't done a get, but I can just go edit this in Notepad, for example. But yes, it's largely irrelevant, the Source Control Explorer, for a Git repository there. But we're interested in the feedback we get from users. If we need to do something in that experience or not. So I'm just going to save that. And if I go into Visual Studio, I want to show you that this is just Git. If I go to my Git changes, I've changed it out in the in outside of Visual Studio, and it obviously just shows up here as a change because it's just Git. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it just seems like,
okay.
Where all your code is?
We'll talk after. I'm interested in understanding what you mean there, so I'll come and catch you after this, if that's okay. One thing I want you, if you just switch as well when you switch between version control types, I was saying it magically just switches for you. So that's a Git repository type, and that's a TFVC repository, and you see it just changes the views and gives you Source Control Explorer for TFVC. So the question is, when are these features coming into hosted or on-premises TFS? On-premises TFS, in a future release. When it's ready, kind of. We're going to do some build, measure, learn in the service, and then we're going to get it into on-premise in a future release. It won't be in update 2, that's for sure, but in a future release. Any other questions? Feel free, people, to just leave, by the way, because we've finished the session. We're just doing questions and Q&A. Yeah, sir.
Similar to that question, is there always going to be a significant feature lag between the on-premise TFS? Is it worth pushing my boss to go to the web and drop the on-premise if we're going to be...
So the question is, what's the is there a lag between features in the on-premise version and the on-premises version and the service? Yes, there is a lag. The lag's not as bad as you'd think because we ship these updates, and we've been shipping updates fairly regularly, as you might have just noticed. So the update isn't a huge update, but if you want the very, very latest bits, no more than 3 weeks old, what we've checked into main, then you go for the service. And then because...
In a future release, that kind of scares me. Rather than 3 weeks, it's someday.
Yeah. I mean, it's someday not that far away, but it's not, but it's not in 3 weeks' time. And so if you want the latest greatest bits, you have to go to service. Because with the service, we've only got one like server infrastructure we have to test against. And as we learned from update one, there's so many configurations that we have to test against. We can't take shortcuts there. And so for doing these updates, we have to test against everybody's different configurations of SQL, and we've got this test matrix of different SQL versions we support. There's only one framework we have to support in Azure. There's only one version of SQL we have to support. So it's a lot easier for us to do that. So that's why we do it that way. And also we find typically the kind of customers that like an on-premises instance aren't after, you know, it's hard to get them to upgrade to the latest version of TFS, never mind the latest quarterly update, you know, the latest update or whatever of TFS. So there was a question over here and then a question over there, and then we better let you get out of the room, otherwise the next speaker will kill me. So, yes, sir.
So we are interested in code metrics.
In code metrics. So the question was, what happens with things like code metrics on the repository types in reporting? We haven't hooked reporting up into the Git version control area yet. We're working on CodeChurn right now and some others. The reason is because we're doing it in on-premises in the service first, we wanted to get that out there, get that people using it, and then go work on things like the reporting integration, which are only features that are needed in the on-premises instance. Thank you. And then the final question. And then you can grab me after, because the speaker will want... Yeah. Okay, yes, sir?
When you record your radio TFS podcast,
yes.
Are you going to do that in front of an audience?
I wasn't planning on doing. I can try if you want me to. It's not very interesting. It's just me sat with a headset. Well, if anyone wants to go to radiotfs.com, fun enough, the news might be about this, because that's all I've been thinking about for the past few months. But, yeah. Okay, thank you very much for your time, everybody.